certainly a very active weekend, too active, out and about. A number of stories, one that I got stuck in, flooding on the lodge and on 94 and on side streets and a variety of other places. And certainly when we get caught in it, the Michigan State Police gets caught in it, out there trying to help us. Lieutenant Mike Shaw of the MSP on the other end of our line. It kind of a very busy and ultimately very sad weekend, Mike.
It was a very busy weekend for sure, Paul W. Good morning.
We also had, it's becoming kind of regular, but a couple of freeway shootings as well. I think one on 696 on Friday, the other Saturday on I-96 near the Southfield. What can you tell us about? You can't do anything about the flooding at this point. I understand that. But what can you tell us about the shootings?
You know, the gun violence just around the district, and I have Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb County, is just continues to grow. Last night was exceptionally violent in the city of Detroit. We've had two freeway shootings. One was a road rage incident where both parties was, you know, ultimately at fault in the incident, even though one didn't have a weapon. The tow truck driver in that particular incident decided, instead of letting, you know, it go like we've been talking about forever, he was going to jump out of the car and, you know, yell at the other party and, you know, run back to his tow truck. And, you know, that results in a shot being fired and breaking out the back window of that tow truck. So, again, you know, two people that just couldn't de-escalate something and got upset about something happening between, you know, cutting somebody off or, you know, not using a blinker, turns into a shooting. The second one that we had down at the 96 area was involving, you know, two parties that for whatever reason were shooting at each other. We haven't been able to track those two folks down yet. Ends up with a stray round hitting a person just traveling down the freeway, which is always our biggest concern, is when these incidents gotta get out of hand, that we see something like this occur. So, again, we're just reminding people just to let it go. I mean, there's nothing worth getting involved in any type of violent situation when it comes to driving. There's
nothing.
Just not.
There's just nothing worth it. And the you referred to the story last night in Detroit, like six people were shot. What is that? What more do you know about that story?
So, again, you know, it's just the inability of people to deal with each other right now. And, you know, and I think some of it, too, is, you know, we see people that have gotten out of COVID and been trapped up in their houses. And now this, you know, all of a sudden they get a little bit of freedom and we can't de-escalate situations. It becomes a lot, you know, harder for law enforcement to go out there and find this kind of stuff happening all the time. So this is something that we do need help from the community of, you know, everywhere. We know that a lot of these events that occur, there's some people that know it's going to happen before it occurs. There's know that people know about it after it happens. But yet we can have, and for me, I'll talk to our particular cases. We can have a freeway shooting that happens on the Southfield Freeway going to 96, where a person shoots at a car at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, stops, goes back, shoots at it again, and drives away at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in rush hour, and we get no tips. Zero. Nobody Wow. comes forward. Nobody says anything. And until the community finally gets tired of these events occurring, it's going to be harder for us. I mean, I've got some of the best detectives in the country, and I would say in the world. We can solve these crimes all the time. But the problem with it is we don't want to solve them after it happens. We want to prevent them before it occurs. And we can't do that without the help of the community.
I you say it and you stress it, and I'll underscore it and underline it, but the fact is, much of this can't be dealt with without the help of the community. And it's not being a snitch or a tattletale or come up with all the negative connotations that shouldn't exist when you're talking about people who are committing criminal activity and you know about it and you don't call the police because you fear retribution or you think it's none of your business. Well, it is one. It when one of those stray bullets comes and hits somebody in your family, it'll be too late, but it'll be your business. Trust me.
And that's the problem with it is, you know, there's a lot of innocent people that get caught up in this, these type of violent incidences because, you know, bullets don't, they don't have any type of tracking system or anything that, that tracks down which person that the bad guy intended to shoot at. It just sprays around to where it goes until, you know, it stops. So we've got to kind of come together and try to figure out a way to work law enforcement and community-wise to figure out when enough is enough. And every once in a while, we kind of see a point where we think, okay, maybe we're there. I mean, we've had two young kids killed for me, and I'll stay on my particular cases. You know, one that's killed in a road rage incident where people get very upset about it for about a day or so. They have a vigil, and then it goes back to normal. And then, you know, just recently we have a mistaken identity where a child is taken from us by somebody that's committing crimes. We get upset for a day or so, and then it's back to normal. We got to finally decide when is enough. You know, when do we decide that we're not going to allow, you know, six or seven people to be gunned down in the city of Detroit? We're not going to allow people to be shot down on our freeways. That we're going to work together to bring some type of conclusion to this because it has to stop.
It has to stop.
It's, you know, it's making people where you can't leave your house in your neighborhood and you're afraid to travel anywhere on the freeway because you don't know when some knucklehead's going to pull out a gun and do something. So we need to work together on that together.
And Lieutenant Mike Shaw of the Michigan State Police, we don't know when some knucklehead is going to get out there behind the wheel when they shouldn't be behind the wheel, as we learn of the Michigan State Police mourning the loss of one of their canines yesterday, one of your canines, Rex, in a crash with a suspected drunk driver. What can you tell us about that? Can they come up with vehicular homicide for an officer of the law?
So we always leave that part of it to the prosecutor. There are some charges that go along with the injuring and killing of a police dog. But it appears in this particular case that one of his own passengers is going to succumb to their injuries and die probably pretty soon. It's just a matter of time before that occurs. So we're looking at one victim in the driver's own car. And then also losing Rex, you know, who's just basically doing his job. He's sitting in that patrol car with that trooper, and they're blocking traffic off to make sure that people don't drive into the flooded freeway system to get their car stuck or, you know, drowned. And they're just sitting there, and they got their lights on, and they're basically doing what they're supposed to be doing. And here comes somebody that's under the influence that we believe, but usually – if the officers smell it out there and things like that, the lab test is just kind of a confirming part of it, and just get struck at freeway speeds. Nothing you can really do for Rex at that time. They rushed him to a vet clinic. They did everything they possibly could, and his injuries were just so too severe. So here's another preventable incident that we're seeing that takes a life of one of our, you know, canine partners, but also the life of a person in that other vehicle.
We're sorry for your loss, Lieutenant. Lieutenant Mike Shaw of the Michigan State Police. Too busy of a weekend. I know you'd like it to not be so busy. We would too.
Absolutely. And we're, you know, our thoughts are going out to Armada. I spent the entire day up in the village of Armada yesterday. That tornado went through there. Some very resilient people. I probably walked about 4 or 5 miles yesterday just talking to people, seeing if they needed something or whatever. And they were more concerned if I was too hot or if I needed to sit down or something like that than they were about their own houses or so, their branches. So, you know, hats off to them for their resilience, and they're going to be great up there.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate it. Lieutenant Mike Shaw.
Thank you, Paul W.
Michigan State Police.